Well, you've had an awful lot said to you already today, is my reflection. And so it's quite hard to come in and to know quite where to land it, to be honest with you, because so much has happened already in this meeting. So we started the year with Dave really laying out for us where he saw us going as a church. And he's really spoke to us about us really engaging in the community at all sorts of different levels. And he spoke about River Life, Healing Rooms, Love Marlowe, Youth Centre, Messy Church, Churches Together, Why Come, Cycles of Evangelism, Getting Out on the Streets, International Mission and Support. It's a pretty good list, isn't it? Pretty good list. Pretty good list. Question is, how do you take it? Question is, how do you carry it? Question is, how do you turn up? Question is, how do you show up in those places? That's the real question. How do you show up in those places? How do you and I show up in those places? How do we show up in our community? How do we show up in our place of work? How do we show up in life? How do we show up to our friends? How do we show up to our family? How do you and I actually show up? How do we reflect the glory of God? How do we turn up? How are we actually going to have impact? What makes the difference between what we're doing and other things out there that aren't bathed in the power of the Holy Spirit? What makes that difference? What's the difference? Well, I believe it comes down to two very, very simple things. And these things are salt and light. And you look at the metaphors that Jesus used again and again and again. Two of the most common metaphors he used were salt and light to describe what it was all about. Light with the coming of the Christ, the whole Star of Bethlehem, the whole nine yards. Light, 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 all the way through. And of course he used those metaphors because they were common metaphors of the day. So, is this going to work? You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So I am going to make a political remark. I don't want to be anything like Donald Trump. I don't want to be anything like Theresa May. I don't want to be anything like Nigel Farage. I want to be like Jesus. And I want to take Jesus into my community, and I want to stand for Jesus' values, because that's what I believe the gospel is. I don't believe Trump has the answer. I don't believe Farage has the answer. I don't believe May has the answer. I believe Jesus has the answer. And I believe Jesus' values need to run through all that we say and do. That's what I believe. And I think we've got intimidated by the press. I think we've got intimidated by some of these issues, and we haven't actually known quite what to stand for. Or perhaps I'm the only one, but that's how I felt. Well, I want to stand for tolerance. I want to stand for loving all of humanity. I want to stand for kindness. I want to stand for the refugees. Whatever that looks like, I want to stand for that, because I believe that is God's heart. That's what I believe. And if that's politics, well, then that's politics. But that's my gospel. And that's what salt is about. Salt is about daring to say the difficult things. I totally and utterly accept, and I'm not in any way disagreeing what was shared about a spirit of rebellion. However, what I totally believe in is it's time to stand up and say what we stand for. Because that is the gospel. That's what Jesus did. He wasn't frightened to take on the Romans. He wasn't frightened to take on the religious order of the day. He stood for truth. Sorry, I'm quite passionate about it. He stood for something different. If we don't, if we just become this vanilla, bland, just whatever. Come on, we've got to stand for something different. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be given. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. They give it to everyone in the house. Everyone in the house sees the light. What is the house? The house is the world. The whole world sees the light. It's not an exclusive light. It's a light for all the world to see. Every nation, every people group, every place is unreached by the gospel. It's a light for the world. That's what the gospel is. So everywhere I go, everything I do, I want my deeds, my behaviors, the way I turn up to glorify the Father. That's what that verse is about. That when I stand up, I glorify the Father. That when I walk into Lord Sugar's office as I did this week, I glorify the Father. But then the next minute, I'm with the poor and the broken, the downtrodden in Oasis. And I glorify the Father because it's all the same in Jesus' economy. There is no difference between rich and poor. I'm just glorifying the Father wherever I go. I'm passionate about it. You probably guessed. When Kaz shared, we saw the most beautiful example of these verses. How many times has this happened to you? You see a situation in your heart, something breaks. Something in Kaz's heart broke. That word is compassion. Or you can use the word care if you like. Out of that compassion, she then got courage. She was brave and she prayed for her. Out of that bravery, a transformation will come. That is the gospel. So Jesus, full of compassion, saw the multitude and said, come on, let's go. So this is the question for me. How much compassion can I carry? Or how much ambivalence do I carry? And I'm finding God is nailing me for this. Susie prayed a great prayer over me before I came up. And she said, I believe God's doing two things with you. He's putting seeds in your life, but also he's kind of taking a whacking great plow and furrowing through your life. And as soon as she said it, I thought, oh, I don't like this bit. I prefer just to have the seeds, thank you. But actually, I realize there's things in my heart that need turning over. They just need to change. There's intolerance in my heart. There's prejudice in my heart. There's ambivalence in my heart that just needs to change. It just needs turning over because it just ain't good enough. Because I want to make a difference. So I want to grow compassion in my heart. And out of compassion, then I find this courage. Because compassion means I have no choice but to speak. I have no choice but to act. And of course, when I, little Al, just turn up and do my bit, then suddenly behind me, great big Jesus turns up and does the transformation, not me. So I'm no longer intimidated to walk into places of power and places of influence. Why? Because a transforming God is on my shoulder. A transforming God is in my heart. A transforming God is in my mind and in my spirit. So when I walk in, I don't walk in as Alistair, I walk in as Jesus. Because that's what Scripture says. I'm a little Christian. I'm a little Christ. I walk in as Jesus. I walk in to transform. When Father made the world, when the Trinity made the earth, at the end of it, he didn't go, that was a bit average. That was a Friday job. He went, that was good. In our humanity at the moment, there is a great deal of good. there's a great deal of good in Theresa May saying, I want to stop child trafficking. That is flipping good. Let's get behind it. Just in case you think I'm of one political persuasion, not the other. Seasoning before judgment. Salt has two primary things it does in Scripture. When it says you are the salt of the earth, the reason why it says salt of the earth is because actually how salt was used, it was put in great tanks in the earth and the meat and the rotten food was put in the earth. So the salt was in the earth in order to change the rottenness. That's why it says salt of the earth. Bit of theology there for you. I know, surprising for me, but there it is. What salt also speaks about is seasoning. When Jesus is there at the Sermon on the Mount, and again, I know, stretch your imagination, I'm Jesus, no head towel tonight, and basically you are the multitude. When Jesus stands there, he does this. He goes like this. He goes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He goes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall, bum, 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 bum. What he's doing, he is calling out what is in that multitude. He is bringing personal words of knowledge and prophesying over that multitude. That's what he's doing. So he's calling out meekness, he's calling out peace, he's calling out gentleness, he's calling out kindness, he's calling out all this stuff. This is my personal belief. Let's take my office. Let's take Lindsay in my office. Lindsay's a good friend of mine. Lindsay is challenging. It's hard to get through a sentence with Lindsay without the F word being in it. Virtually impossible. We do a Christmas do one year, and he knows London really well, and he said, tell you what we're going to do. And there was me and another Christian guy in our company at the time. And he said, I'll tell you what we're going to do, he said, because he struggled a bit with this guy and some of his attitudes and behaviours. He said, watch this. We're going to watch what this little Christian F does as we take him through Soho. Watch his little eyes roll in his head. This is what Lindsay says, you see. So we are walking through Soho, you see, and we're going by all the clubs and all the shops and everything. We're literally walking through to get to this fantastic restaurant, by the way, on the edge of Soho, which was a great evening. Really good. End up with cigars and a good laugh. It was really good. And we're going through Soho. We're going through all this stuff, you see. And this other guy is getting really, he's not handling it very well. So he looks at me and he goes, you're very relaxed. I said, yep. He said, why is that? So I said, shall I tell you why, Lindsay? Come here, Taylor, stand up. That's what I did. I said, Lindsay, look around you. This is exactly where Jesus would be. Sit down. This is exactly where Jesus would be. So do you know what? I feel really comfortable here. And he goes, that's why I like your effing church so much. We went through a situation recently which was tough in the business. This man comes up to Sandra and I and says, tough quarter, not making any money, no, we've got to make some cuts. So this is where it begins. And I won't name the percentage, but it is a staggering percentage. He says to me, therefore, where we start is, you cut my salary by X. And if you don't, I'm not staying. There is no debate. I'm calling out generosity in that man by the way that I live. I'm calling out what's in his life that's so godly. I'm more interested in his attitudes, behaviours and his language. Because that is what the Holy Spirit is already doing in his life and I can see it. And God's plan doesn't begin when you get saved. God's plan begins when you get born. So I'm calling out everything in that man's life. and I'm honouring it. And I'm going, Lindsay, I honour you for your generosity, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I honour you. I honour you for these things. I honour you for your faithfulness. I honour you for your loyalty. I'm humbled by it. I'm calling out what's in his life, because every time I call it, he gets a step nearer the kingdom of God. I'm not too interested in the F words. I'm more interested in the generosity. Because that's what Christ has placed there. And that's what I'm going to build on. So I'm going to bring out the flavour of God in his life. So here's my question to you. Go now. I challenge you, go now. Go to your neighbours, go to your colleagues, go to your schools, go to your colleges, and start looking for the favour of God in those people's lives and start calling it out. Matt, in your world, in theatre, find those guys that are kind and call it out, Matt. Call out those ones that somehow, when they act, they carry grace and dignity. Call it out in their lives, because those are the things that Jesus wants us to carry. And Jesus wants us to see in people's lives. And those are the first steps to beginning to respond to the Christ. Taking on of his values. So suddenly I find Lindsay's values begin to shift. What a surprise, because he's around me. Because I'm contagious. Do you realize that? You're contagious. They're going to catch what you have. The question is, what are they going to catch? Silent witness. Favourite program. I love it. Admit it, partly because I think Amelia Fox is drop-dead gorgeous. Absolutely on the money. Sorry, honest statement. What does forensics teach you? You always leave a trace. You always leave a trace. No matter how small, you leave a trace. The question is, what trace are you going to leave? You always leave a trace at every scene. So what's the trace you're leaving next week? What's the trace you're leaving in your street? What's the trace you're leaving with your colleagues? What's the trace you're leaving with your children? What's the trace you're leaving with your parents? What's the trace you're leaving with your friends? You will always leave a trace. The question is, what trace are you leaving? What evidence are you leaving of the Christ? What evidence are you leaving that they can come to a conclusion that there is a Christ? What evidence are you building for the case of the Christ? Oh, I could go on this metaphor. There's all this stuff you can build just around leaving a trace. So what's the trace you and I are leaving? What's the flavour you and I are leaving? What is that flavour that you and I are leaving? Carrying light. This is ridiculous. He gave me this word before I stood up and said, God says you're to give them some lanterns today. I used this to speak at Katie's wedding last summer. It's one of my favourite songs. I still play it regularly. I've got a new girlfriend in my life. New girlfriend's walked into my life. She's called Alexa. And she stands in my kitchen and I go, Alexa, play. She's so obedient. It's unbelievable. Fantastic. Alexa, play Amy Grant. And Amy Grant comes up. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path. So when the lamp's down by your feet, it covers the immediate place in front of your feet. It covers directly where you are. Sometimes, boy, do you need that. You just need to know the next step, don't you? Sometimes you are there to help people just know the next step, okay? You're there to help them just make the next step. And the next step may just be, let's help you with your debt. Or let's help you with your broken relationship. Or let's help you get on better with your mum. It's an immediate thing that's in your life right now that needs dealing with. So let's help you with the next step. Let's bring light to your feet, but then at times let's lift it right up. And let's make it a lamp unto your path. And let's say to you, this is the way to go. This is your destiny. This is what Jesus has for you. This is your mission. This is your vision. This is your path. What do you have to do that? You have to get up high. You have to hold it right up high. And the higher you hold it and the bigger the light, the further it spreads. That's dangerous. Isn't that lovely? Some of us feel we're not the great communicators. For some of us, the talking thing's a bit tricky. We've elevated at times in our gospel, a gospel that was all around explanation and doing what I'm doing now and preaching. And for some people, I just think of Nigel's mother. She just exuded graceful acts. I think my mother at 92, when I go and see her every week when I go and see her, the same thing happens. She says the same thing to me. She says, just thank you for being such a good son. Every week. She's always grateful. Never complains. Always tells me to go quickly and get on with my business. I know I'm one of the highlights of her week, but her gratitude, her spirit of gratitude on that woman is absolutely staggering. It makes it so easy to love her. Because she is full of graceful acts, and I honour my mother. And I honour my father, because that's how I was brought up. I was brought up to live in graceful acts. That's what I was taught from day one. You look after humanity. Graceful acts, that's what you do, Alistair. Even when they weren't saved, that's what they were saying to me. You care for humanity, you are tolerant. That's your worldview. A light that sparkles in a myriad of graceful acts. Perhaps the next time you go on a walk and there are some stars in the sky, perhaps the next time you're on a beach or on a mountain or wherever and you walk along and you just see the stars, perhaps you just lift a prayer as another graceful act into that firmament which is the Lord's. Perhaps there's a thought that I can add another graceful act into that life, that graceful act will actually light something of the kingdom of God and push back the forces of darkness which we're so evidently seeing in our world at the moment. Whatever you think of what's happening in America, its heart is being ripped apart. That's not good. Whatever you think of Brexit in here, what's happened to our nation is a great division has taken place. Lines have been drawn, sides have been taken, and pain has filled the void. That's what's happened in our nation. So who is going to fill that pain? Who is going to fill that gap? Who is going to come and bring a difference? It's the church. That's what I believe. And I believe it's going to do it through graceful acts. Acts of kindness. Refugees. Messy church. Youth work. Praying on the streets. The pop-up shop. Let's pray that we get that at Costa Coffee. How cool would that be? To be in Costa Coffee and see people getting healed rather than just getting a cappuccino. That would be good. Wouldn't it? That's something to die for, isn't it? That's something to be risky for, isn't it? That's something to be courageous for, isn't it? Love Marlowe. That's something to be courageous for, isn't it? Alpha. So it went a bit wrong. So we go again. We just go again. Because we're committed to graceful acts. We're committed to kindness. Because that's the gospel. We're not committed to fear. We're not committed to getting intimidated by what's going on in our planet at the moment. Yeah? We're committed to faith. Yeah? Well, I am. I'm committed to making a difference. I'm committed to allowing the Holy Spirit to come inside of me and plow as hard as he can in this season. Why do I want that to happen? Because I know the more he plows up my life, the more seeds he's going to put into those furrows in my life. And that's what that word is really about. And the more impact I'm going to have. I don't come here on a Sunday for me. Sometimes I find our meetings boring. Sometimes I don't quite fancy being here. Sometimes I'd rather be watching the replay of United at home with a coffee in my hand or out on a golf course. But I'm here not for me. I'm here for you because I want to minister to you. go, I love you. That's why I'm here. And I'm here to worship my God. I'm not here for me. So I don't go around thinking, well, church isn't very good for me at the moment. Because that's not really the question. The question is, how can I serve church? Because it's God's order. It's God's structure. It's God's design. It's the bride. Don't diss it. Diss the bride, you diss the Christ. Very simple. He loves it. So don't diss it. We have a whole generation of people out there that just don't engage in church. We've got a massive issue on our hands around that issue. Around how we gather and how we meet and how we draw people in. I think graceful acts is the key. I think acts of kindness are a key. I think the power of the supernatural is a key. I think a clear articulation of the gospel is a key. I think standing for tolerance and justice and kindness and an open world and an open heaven is a key. I believe in those things. I believe that's what's needed in our season. I believe it's time to be salt and light. This verse is for you, Susie and Patrick. My God, we need wisdom at the moment, don't we? My God, do we need wisdom in our world at the moment? The wisdom of the Lord is based on the foundation of love. The wisdom of the Lord is not based on hatred or fear. It's based on love. It's based on acceptance. It's based on humility. The wisdom of the Lord is based on humility. It's based on kindness. It's based on patience. It's based on self-control. It's based on joy. Recognize the list? That's how the wisdom of the Lord is based. So, this is what I believe. I believe you are the most remarkable group of people. And I'm very proud to be part of this community. And I dare to believe that we can make a real difference in this town. I dare to believe we can make a difference in your street, in your school, in your place of work, in your family. I break it right down. And I dare to believe we can do it in the world. Just close your eyes. As I spoke, if there is somebody who you know, you've seen something as I spoke, and something sparked in your heart, and you thought, do you know what? When you spoke about Lindsay or whatever, I saw something on so-and-so. I saw something on so-and-so. I saw something on James. I saw something on Sarah. I saw something on somebody. Or even now, as you're having a quiet reflection now, if a name comes into your heart, and I'm not going to pull you out, I'm not going to play a game here, I want you to stand just to acknowledge two things. To acknowledge the work of God in that person's life, and to actually acknowledge that you will choose to pray for that person. And that from prayer, you will move to courage to try and say something to that person that honours what you see in their life. If there's somebody like that that you have now, just stand for that person, would you? Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray for a transformation in the lives of every single person who is standing for somebody else. A transformation in them and a transformation in that person. We pray for the process of compassion to grow and grow and grow, and for courage to grow and for transformation to come. Amen. Why don't you sit down? If you know, as I've been speaking, there is a project, there is an initiative, there is something that, as I've spoken, you've gone, do you know what? That's touched me. I know I've given myself to that so far, but there's something today about me going for it again. There's something today for me about going for that again. Perhaps it's a people group. Perhaps it's Love Marlow. Perhaps it's Wycombe. Perhaps it's whatever. If that's you, I want you to stand. Just stand. That's interesting. It's all women. Just an observation. Sai. Oh, Sai just walked in, I think. Rather than standing, if I'm right. You're standing. Good. Women and Sai. Good man, Sai. Holding up the bloke's end. Thank you, Patrick. You guess what I was trying to provoke? Response to some of the guys. I release you to a myriad of graceful acts. I release you to prophetic insight. I release you to wisdom. I release you to clarity. I say in those places you will have favor. I say in those places the Holy Spirit will shine. I say in those places you will make a difference. I say in those places you will be salt and light. And the Christ will come. That's what I say. And the people of God said, amen. Thank you.
Al, before you go, because it's just about time for the meeting to end, I'd like you to pray for the whole congregation, if that's all right. Thanks.
Can we also pray for one person who I love really dearly, whose name is Chloe Ellis? And Chloe is the daughter of one of Sandra's and our good friends. And Roger and Maggie have had a lot of input into the foundations of this church, and they lead a church down in Revs. And on Monday, Chloe had 8 hours of surgery to remove a tumour from the back of her neck here. And the pre-op possibilities were that she would possibly die on the operating table, or she'd be paralysed, or that she would never swallow properly and have to have tubes. The good news is that she's not paralysed, she's not dead, but we're still not absolutely clear around whether she can really swallow well. Okay, and she is suffering a tremendous amount of pain at the moment. So I'd like us to pray for her, if that's okay, and for you to pray for her, pray for Chloe. I sent her a word in the week because I was in Italy and there was a little earthquake in Italy. It wasn't my fault. And when the earthquake happened, I just felt God speak to me and say, the earthquakes are over, but the tremors will still come. So you need to pray over the tremors, that they don't turn into earthquakes and that she finds peace in the tremors. So let's pray for that. We pray for Chloe for peace in the tremors. We pray that none of the tremors will turn into earthquakes. We pray for a total healing and restoration. And taking that metaphor through to our nation, we pray for peace in our nation. We pray for the peace of the Christ. We pray that wherever we go, that you will help us to be people of peace, men and women of peace and of understanding. We pray for the leaders of our day. Scripture's really clear, you know, when we're in a crisis. We should pray for people. We should pray for those in power. Scripture's really clear about it. So we pray for the people. We pray for people in charge. And then thirdly, we pray for the church. Scripture's really clear about it. So we pray for the church in this country. We pray for the people of our nation, and we pray for those who are in power. We ask for your protection, for your light, for your guidance, and that grace will prevail.